I heard somebody say, and I understood the context in which they meant it, they said that love doesn't hurt. Then they're talking about domestic violence, and I agree with them totally about that. But I don't like the statement out of context, because love does hurt. Love hurts. It hurts to care. Love hurts so bad that it's a funny thing. We have the oddest relationship with it. We all want it and we all need it, and yet we try to dodge it. Maybe it's because it's so expensive. Love is expensive, not just with checks and dinner and stuff. I'm not talking about cards and flowers and stuff. Love is expensive because love requires an openness that is unsettling, a transparency that is difficult. And so while we love to be loved, we love to be loved, but when it comes time for us to fall in love, we don't know where it's gonna go. And it starts out with your heart on fire, but often it doesn't always end up like it starts. And I'm not just talking about romantic love. Love for anything, anyone. It could be a pet. And you can love the pet, and then something happens to the pet, and you're crushed. And you can be crushed so bad that you don't even want another pet for a while, because you don't want to invest that much and lose it again. If you can cry over a pet, then when you have the baby is crying. Before it's over, you're gonna cry. Don't think that the tears are just for the child. Before you finish, little boo-boo, little hopscotch, little humpty head. Will break your heart. And that's part of the process. And it determines how tough your love is, how you respond, tough being strong, to the challenging times of love, to the rejection of love, to the isolation of love, to the expense of love. All of that is difficult. And because we want to protect ourselves from the pain and the bruise that comes from the impact and the trauma and the pain, often we lock out the pain, not realizing that the same mechanism that locks out the pain locks out the pleasure. So while you have insulated yourself to the point that you can't feel the pain, you will eventually notice that you can't feel the pleasure either. Because a wall is a wall, and without discrimination, once you put it up, it locks everything out and you go numb. And it is so difficult to get the courage to dismantle the wall, because the wall protects you from the pain, but it imprisons you without the pleasure. Love is a complicated thing. It's a very difficult thing. A whole chapter Paul wrote about love alone. It endures all things, hopeth all things. He talks about the endurance of love. It seeketh not its own. He said, now abideth faith, hope, and charity, but the greatest of the three is always love. The greatest of anything is always in the third dimension. Faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. The greatest is always in the third dimension. Outer court, inner court, holies of holies. Body, soul, spirit. The greatest is always in the third dimension. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the greatest is always in the third dimension. And while you can get faith good and you can get hope good, that sometimes we have trouble with the love. So you could be strong in faith and full of hope and locked up about love. That's why some of the most anointed, gifted, dancing all over the church people can also be rude in the parking lot. I knew you could appreciate that illustration. Because if they honking their horn at you and giving you sign language and you're not deaf, you wonder, was you the same person that had a word of knowledge in the church and you were singing that song in the choir and you hit that note and I got goose pimples and now you screaming at me in the parking lot? Johnny Cash's son wrote a book and I pulled a quote out of it for you to hear. I thought it was profound. He said, true love is many things. True love is many things. And can survive the strongest and most painful of times. True love. I'm talking about fake love, true love. When love comes out on the other side of a fire, it may be scarred forever. But this bruised love is somehow only greater for having survived the pain. The people that are clapping have survived the pain. We have this polarized relationship with love where we want it and yet we're afraid of it. We draw it and get close to it and we entertain it, but don't stay over. You can have coffee and we can do brunch, but don't get lodged in my heart. Because love will bring a strong man to his knees. Love will make a tough guy cry in his pillow. Love will take a rough, resilient woman and bring her to her knees. Love will make you do things that you said. You would never do. Love will make you take things that you thought you would never take. Love will make you ignore things that you thought you would never ignore because love has a way of surviving pain. It seems like an oxymoron that you would bring love and pain up in the same sentence because love is so romantic after all. It is so sincere. A mother holding a baby in her arms, nursing at her breast, taking its nourishment out of her body is as intimate as you could possibly be. You would never think that that child could grow up and cuss you out, punch you, slap you in the face or steal your car and leave you in pain. But if you live long enough, or if you let them live long enough, there will be moments where love goes on trial. There will be tough times that you will have to deal with love. The problem with heartbreak, with a bruised love, is if I have a bruised arm, you can treat it. If I have a bruised shin, there's something you can do about it. But if my love is bruised, there is no surgery for a broken heart. Not the kind of heart I'm talking about. There is no surgery for a broken heart. There is no pain medicine for a broken heart. You don't believe me. If somebody breaks your heart, take Tylenol. See if it'll do you any good. The vulnerability of the heart is hinted at in the human body itself. The human body itself hints at the vulnerability of the heart because the heart is surrounded by a rib cage, the physical heart. It's surrounded by a rib cage to protect the physical heart because the physical heart is powerful, keeping you alive, pumping blood to the furthermost part of your body. Miles and miles of arteries and veins and circulatory systems are at the mercy of the power of the muscle of the heart to pump blood. And any place it doesn't reach, you're going to have a problem, even if it's your toe. And how could a heart be so powerful and yet so sensitive? Just a few weeks ago, football player playing on the field and impacted his chest, had two heart attacks before they could get him to the hospital because the heart is powerful but vulnerable. Surrounded by the rib cage, the ribs are connected to the sternum with a strong, somewhat flexible material called cartilage. It's designed in such a way that the rib cage helps to protect the organs in the chest, such as the heart, the lungs, from damage. God knew to protect the physical heart. Even though the heart is strong, it is vulnerable. I want to dwell on that. Even though the heart is strong, it is vulnerable. If I am to become the heart of God, that means I must be as strong as I am vulnerable. If I lose either one of them, I cease to represent the heart of God. If I go for the strong and let go of the vulnerable, I don't reflect the heart of God. I mistake it up under the false identity of being a strong woman. I'm a strong man. Yeah, but you hard. And if you are hard, you are not like God, because God gives us the hint in the physical heart that you must be strong enough to keep pumping and vulnerable enough that you have to be protected. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? In the spirit realm, now I went from the physical to the physical to the emotional, and now I'm going to go to the spiritual. In the spirit realm, God warns us to guard your heart. For out of your heart flows the issues of life. And what he's talking about is guard your spirit. And he says, I don't have a rib cage around your spirit. So you got to stand guard over your heart. Who you let in, who you let out, what you let flow out of your heart, because out of your heart flows the issues of life. That's where your creativity comes from. That's where your endurance comes from. That's where the power to fulfill your vision comes from. When you stop feeling, you stop being creative. When you stop feeling, you stop dreaming. When you stop feeling, you stop believing. When you stop feeling, you stop functioning. You become a machine, a robot, a mannequin. You become an iPad. You become a laptop. You become just functional but not relational, because you've lost your ability to invest emotion. And God said, guard your heart. Stand on it night and day, guarding your heart, because out of your heart, not your head, not your intellect, not your degrees, not your vocabulary, out of your heart flows the issues of life. If you got more in your head than you have in your heart, you'll go bankrupt. You'll be a walking encyclopedia, but if you've lost your empathy, you'll lose all of connection with humanity, because we don't care how much you know until we know how much you care. It has been said that grief is the price we pay for love. And what that simply means is people who don't love much don't grieve much. You have to be a lover to have great grief. And most people won't invest enough because they don't want to go through the tragedy of the loss of losing, because great lovers are great grievers. I'm talking about capacity. Some people sitting beside you don't have the capacity to care enough, to work enough, to grieve enough, to feel enough, to meet your need. Because if they have a pint-sized capacity and you have a gallon-sized capacity, and you keep saying, I need more, and they keep saying, I'm giving you all I got, neither one of you are lying. You're just unequally yoked because you have yoked yourself to somebody who doesn't have the capacity to give you what you need. And I can't help how much you need it. If I don't have it, you can't get it. So when you're dating, instead of asking them what kind of car you drive and where you work, you need to check out their capacity. Who's in your life that's been in your life a long time that you still love? What have you endured and came out loving on the other side? Who did you give up, and why did you give them up, and why did you cut them off, and how do you feel about it? Because some people can cut you off and think absolutely nothing about it because they don't have capacity. They were never invested in you in the first place. When John the writer writes here about God, he says that God so loved. It would be enough to say that God loved, because God is love. But he says that God so loved. He had to put an adjective in front of it to modify the noun to make you understand the magnitude of the infinitive capacity of God to so love. The infinite capacity. Paul said, Peter said, I pray that you might know the love of God which passeth all understanding. The breadth, the height, the depth of the love of God is incomparable. You can only try to come up with anthropomorphic terms to describe the infinite capacity for God to love. God said, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I loved you when you were drunk. I loved you when you were high. I loved you when you were nasty. I loved you when you were wicked. I loved you when you were evil. I loved you when you were fornicating. I loved you when you were stealing. I loved you when you were down and out. I loved you when you were in a homeless shelter. I loved you when you were in a jail cell. I loved you when you didn't have food to eat. I loved you when you was rich. I loved you when you were turning tricks. I loved you when you were strung out on cocaine. I loved you when you were on Christ. God so loved. 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 I want you to drink that. That's hard for you to drink, but if you drink that, that will heal you. God so loved you. If you drink that, you won't need people as much as you need them. If you drink that, you won't be as lonely as you are. If you drink that, you won't be as desperate as you are. You don't need somebody to love you. God so loved. And don't buy what the church people say. It didn't say that God so loved the church. It didn't say that God so loved the Christians. It didn't say that God so loved the believers. It said that God so loved. And most of us who preach about him and teach about him can't express that because we're so self-righteous and judgmental that we want to pick who God loves. But you cannot build a wall high enough that God's love will not scale it. It will climb over top of it. It will put a ladder up and reach it. I don't care what you say. You might not like them. You might not like them. You might lock them out. You might lock them out. There are people that God loves your enemies. God loves the people that did you wrong. God loves the people that you want to get even with. I know you don't want to hear that because you want God to destroy them. But that person is God's child too. And God loves them. The crazy ones, the foolish ones, the spiteful ones, the vicious ones. God so loved the world.